Off the Ball, GAA.
But the reason we carry a smaller panel is because some players can't live to those standards and cultures that we're trying to achieve.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Vinnie Perth is with us to reflect on Ireland's 2-1 win, 4-2 aggregate win over the two legs. If you're Heimer, you must be feeling pretty good about life this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the last couple of results, look, the remit was, and people were saying, we need to get results, we need to start winning games of football, and we've done that. So depends on your view, the glass or the half full, half empty. Have we beaten teams that we should be? Yes, but we've still beaten them. And we've
been a while since we did that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you would say the biggest sort of criticism of the last sort of management setup was they probably didn't get over the line in these games. And if they went 1-0 down, you felt that you wouldn't come back from it. And we've gone 1-0 down the last two games and ultimately won. So that has to be a positive.
Evan Ferguson in a deeper position.
Yeah.
And 10. What do you make of it?
It's an interesting one because he's learned that trade at Brighton when you go and watch Brighton live, and you know that they want that sort of number 9 to come in, link the play up with two wingers going on behind. I think that's where we've got to learn. What I've liked about the manager is, and I've been calling for a long time, is I think now the modern footballer can play different systems and he can switch from a back three to a back four.
In the middle of the game.
And I think because it's different. You reference, say, a Man City or Liverpool, they're just going to play the same way week in, week out. And their mindset is we're better than the other, so airway will win. But when you look at teams, and we use the Premiership a great example, teams from sort of six down, they when they're playing the top teams, they might play with a back three or playing a team they should be who are in the bottom three, they might go very attack-minded. So players at that level nowadays, particularly the way sort of the analyst works at club, players are able to adapt. They're used to actually not even being on the grass, doing certain things on a tactics board, small bit of a grass session, walkthrough stuff, not even running, and taking that onto a pitch and winning. So we that was probably my biggest criticism. We stuck to a back three the last time and under the last management. Now we're playing sort of, I heard someone sort of on TV, I don't know, was it something on TV, sort of bemoaning the fact that we need to find a way of playing. I'm okay with us coming up with different scenarios for the opposition. So that's where he has to be really positive in terms of what he's done. We're starting to see little patterns of play, whether it's a fullback, when they have the ball, like it was Brady yesterday, was sort of playing a little bit higher. So he almost like with a back three.
Mm.
At times, and they're all little things that you could see that the players are buying into. So the example you use of Evan dropping in, I wasn't a lover of it. What I did like about it is Troy Parrott's movement and his understanding of the game, and I think going to Eredivisie has definitely helped that. I don't know for sure, but you imagine he's working with very technical coaches over there who would explain the game slightly different. Obviously his confidence is high. I thought Troy Parrott's movement was really good. And you could see how they could form a really good partnership. So there was a lot to like about certain aspects of the game, it must be said.
Do you think Evan Ferguson himself enjoys that role?
Yeah, I think he does. I think people... The Evan discussion is interesting because obviously I'm completely biased. So even like I was at the game yesterday as effectively a guest of Evan. I was in a box with him and his family and spoke to him after the game, not about football. But so I'd be a little bit biased, but I see a 20-year-old being asked questions in a press conference, didn't see the full press conference, about his career, like, and you're going, bloody 20.
Yeah.
Right? Who's had an injury, who's in a really good place. And what I like about the way he's speaking at the moment or within his inner circle, whether that's through his agent or his family, is he's very comfortable that he's in this position and where he is in terms of finding his way into it, back into starting 11.
Coming soon to your Off the Ball podcast feed.
I'm nervous and always will use tear gas.
Yes. Oh, Jesus.
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers
in Mexico City.
Saying we won after your team's won a football game is like saying I had sex after I'm watching porn.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things all the way through Latin America.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.
Available soon for free on the OTB app.
It's 8:55 this morning. If you want to get in touch, 087-9180-180 is the WhatsApp number. Sarah Dunham, good morning to you. How are you?
Greetings from sunny Cork, lads.
Oh yeah, it's always sunny when you're scoring goals, right?
10 in the last two games. Yeah, very fortunate. Or, what would I say? We're just being ruthless, as Ursula Jacob said last night on the telly, and I agreed with her.
Oh, what? Yeah, so you're leaning towards the latter, are you?
100%, yeah.
Why is that happening?
The team has found a flow, that cohesion that we were looking for. They found it.
Can I counter that? Actually, on behalf of Arthur, who said this morning that like this is like Galway were abysmal. I mean, can both be true?
Both can be true, but putting up 4-15 from play on any day against any team is impressive, and you can't deny it. And you can't keep the lid on the hype. There was 20,000 people in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. There was 5,000 in Limerick. There was 7,000 in Thurles. The interest is there. The team are performing. The energy is there, and the players are bouncing, lads. You can't deny that.
It's really interesting that many teams experience a big hangover from being beaten in an All-Ireland final in heartbreaking circumstances. And that's not the case with this group. It feels like they're building on that as opposed to having been somehow cowed by the experience. Now, the one caveat to that is it's the league. It's very early for the team to be in a state of flow. They've got to maintain that through Munster, come through that, and then re-find it again for Croker at least twice.
That's true, but I think Clare are your prime example of how they managed that last year in terms of winning the league, obviously not winning the Munster title, but then winning the All-Ireland. And if you look at how close they were to Limerick in the previous years, where Limerick were, you know, absolutely outrageous and Clare were losing to them by a point on different days. So Clare's energy over the last 4 years in terms of staying at it to ultimately win an All-Ireland last year is testament to the fact that you can't just show up for one season. You have to be consistent and then the wins start to come.
Yeah, so I think that's it, isn't it? It's that actually whether or not they win the league is not going to define whether or not they win the championship. But what's true is that they have built on over the last couple of years. Now, notwithstanding, last year, the team from the first round of the championship to the second round of the championship had 5 or 6 changes. So this does happen to great teams. I think famously, Mickey Hart made 5 or 6 changes against the Dubs and totally recast his team, and that Tyrone team went on to win the All-Ireland. That's nearly 18, 16 years ago at this stage. So good managers can, in the middle of a championship, decide, OK, we found something here. And it seems like they're building on that.
Yeah, good managers can also get it wrong. And, you know, something that's showed up in training doesn't necessarily show up in championship. And Pat Ryan had to learn very quickly when they lost to Waterford that they needed to change something, and he did. So that is also the sign of a good manager. The group, and Patrick Horgan referenced it after the match the last night, there's 37 guys looking to get into that kind of starting 15. And even if you look at the competition for the half back line currently, like Robert Downey's nailed on, Kieran Joyce is nailed on, but then you have Micheál Mullins, Cormac O'Brien, Tommy O'Connell and Mark Coleman looking to get into that 7 shirt. And no other line on the pitch has that level of competition, I think.
Has Pat Ryan himself evolved even since last year? Or is it kind of the players catching up with him and what he wants?
Pat is very steady and very consistent. And I think he said previously that Kieran Kingston had told him the best managers have a great temperament. And I think that's important. And look, you'll see other managers in the league, both hurley and football, in the last few weeks showing a lot of emotion. And it's not necessarily what players need. And Pat is consistency personified. And I think the players are buying into that. They have their days where they get everything right and there's things they need to work on, but he's so consistent with them that he's very measured, and that keeps them very calm. And that's how they look like they're playing really calmly.
To listen to this morning's full Off the Ball breakfast, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.